الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم When you look at things in the world around you, or when we look at things in the world around us, we only appreciate a part of what is present. When we look at things in the world around us, we only appreciate a part of what is present. Now, maybe to understand this statement, you have to have a little bit of a background or an example. Example will be very useful. For example, if you go outside and you look at a tree, by looking at the tree, you will observe a trunk, you will observe branches, you will observe leaves. And that's what's readily apparent to a person when they look at a tree. But the reality is that the tree is far more complex than that. Aside from a trunk, branches, and leaves, a tree has a very intricate root system. And as much of the tree as you see above ground, there's probably that much of the tree that's also present under the ground. You don't see it, it's not readily apparent, but everybody knows it because every second grade, third grader, kindergartner, learns to draw the parts of a tree. And one of the things that we learn when we learn about a tree is that it also has roots that secure the tree and form the foundation of that tree. So in this example, what we see, what we understand is that the tree is what's readily apparent, but there's far more to that tree than what actually is visible at first glance. And this doesn't only apply to a tree, it applies to so many things that you might look at. For example, look at a building, any building. Look at the people who come from all over the world. They go to see the Willis Tower. They go to see these famous tall buildings that are built throughout the world. And when you look at the building, you see what's readily apparent above the ground. So you'll see the structure above the ground. You'll see the facade of the building. You'll see the glazing and the windows, etc. But what you don't readily appreciate is that every building has a foundation. And just as intricate as the building, the foundation is even more intricate than that. The foundation is more carefully designed. Every person who is in construction will tell you that the hardest part of any building is the foundation. The foundation is that which stabilizes the building. It's that which the building rests upon. So now here you have an object that you're observing, that we're observing. It's a building. But the reality is that aside from the brick and the mortar and the glass and the doors, there's a whole component of the building that is not readily apparent. That's the second example. Okay, third example. Just in everyday life, you bump into people. And when you bump into people, often in the conversation, you learn what the person does. For example, you happen to come to the masjid and you bump into someone and you say, oh, you know, what's your name? How are you? Where do you live? Where do you work? The person says, I'm a lawyer. Okay, I'm an attorney. So you look at that person and what's readily apparent to you is that there's an individual and he looks like maybe he's an attorney. He's got, you know, characteristics that maybe an attorney has, or he seems to have a demeanor of an attorney, whatever it might be. Now, we observe that in the characteristic in that person, and maybe we even observe that person at our work, but the reality is that there's far more to the person being an attorney than just simply watching the person have briefs or write a rebuttal or whatever it might be. There's all this education and all this foundation upon which that person's knowledge is built. And any person who's in the field knows that. You don't just say, I'm an attorney. You have to train to become an attorney. And when you train to become an attorney, that forms a foundation upon which you actually then call yourself an attorney. You can't just stand up and say, I'm an attorney. You have to have studied. You'll have to have sat with people who are in the field. You'll have to have passed the bar exam, most likely. And then eventually you call yourself an attorney. Now, visibly you have a brief and a, you know, you're wearing the dress of an attorney and you have a bag of an attorney and you show up in a court like an attorney, but there's far more to what is actually observed by the eye. That's almost everything in life. Everything has that which is apparent and has a component that is hidden. Now, why do I provide that example? Because although those are simple examples that are present in the world around us, the reality is that we as believers are exactly the same. We as believers are exactly the same, which is that there is a component to us that is readily visible, that I see in the mirror every morning, and that everybody who interacts with me sees on a regular basis. People may see the way I dress. People may see the way I look. People may see the way I carry myself. People may see the way I speak. People may see me in the masjid. That's readily apparent. Everybody can see that, and all of us have that component to us. But the reality is that what forms the believer is not as much what you see, but what underlies that what you see. Maybe we state it this way. Almost more important than what you see is that what underlies what we see. Now, like a tree, a believer has a component that's readily visible to themselves and to the world around them. But like a tree, a believer must have a component to them that stabilizes them and that nourishes them and that forms the foundation upon which they grow. Like the tree has the root system. The root system, without the root system, the tree is not coming. When you have a seed and you plant a seed, the first thing isn't that it just sprouts and produces a plant. The first thing is that for several days, the root system is formed. And as the root system is formed, that becomes a mechanism by which the plant gains a base in that soil. And then eventually is able to absorb all the nutrients of that soil. And once that system is established, then the plant begins to reveal itself and begins to expose its beauty to the world that surrounds it. So in the same way, the believer forms with the foundation. And then at subsequent and secondary, and as a consequence of that foundation, the person then begins to exhibit the characteristics of a believer. Now, I could try to do it in the reverse. For example, I could say that I want to be a pious, righteous individual, so I'm simply going to dress like a pious and righteous individual. I'm simply going to act like a pious and righteous individual. And that may gain me some reward, and that may allow me to establish myself for some time. But invariably, if there is no foundation, then there will be no support. And eventually, the person will get challenged and will fail at some challenge. Like, for example, if there's a tree and the tree doesn't have a very good system underground to gain nutrients, then maybe it can survive in an average day. Maybe it can survive in an average season. But there will invariably come a season when it's a little dry relative to the other years. There will come a season when it's a little more windy than it was in the other years. There will come a season where it's a little colder than it was in the other years. And if the system, the foundation is not there, eventually that tree will not be able to survive. And so, you know, the believer gets challenged constantly. And what is going to determine whether the believer is able to maintain themselves and advance themselves is going to be the foundation upon which they establish themselves. Now you'll see that our deen puts a huge premium on establishing that foundation and then maintaining that foundation. So where does that foundation come from? The foundation of every believer is their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their ibadah. The connection that they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ibadah that establishes that connection. That's the foundation of every believer. So what does that mean? The believer is regularly interacting with the Qur'an. And the more the believer interacts with the Qur'an, the more their foundation is formed. The believer is regularly engaging in prayer. Not superficial, rapidly produced prayer, deep prayer, night prayer, supererogatory prayer. Those types of prayers that really form a firm base for the believer. And the believer is regularly doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, these are the tiny little sprouts that come out from the roots. When a person has this as their foundation, then what happens? They grow. And as they grow, they produce a tree. And as they produce a tree, sometimes the wind blows this way, sometimes the wind blows that way, sometimes the weather's hot, sometimes the weather's cold, sometimes it's dry, sometimes it's moist. That tree thrives regardless of the environment in which it's challenged. That type of tree thrives regardless of how challenging the environment is. But what's the basis of it? It's not the strength of the branch. It's not the color of the leaf. It's not even the strength of the trunk. It is the foundation of the root. When they have a foundation, everything else is healthy. And if you want to have a tree die, all you have to do is dig the roots out, cut a few of the roots, and the tree will die. The whole big tree will become weak and will die. Because that is the basis of the tree. Similarly with a building. If the foundation is not good, the building will collapse. The whole building will collapse, no matter how intricately designed, if the foundation is not firm and it's not placed on a reliable soil. So as people who are advancing in our deen, we have to remember that we have to develop our foundation. If we don't have that foundation, then it's very hard to grow. Even if we apparently dress a certain way or act a certain way or externally emulate a sunnah in a certain way, those are all great things, but it's hard for them to be maintained and for them to last and for them to thrive without that foundation. Now, I mean, there's two ways to go about it. You can just build a beautiful building and not worry about the foundation, and it might look nice, it might stand for a few years, but eventually it'll collapse. Or you can carefully lay the foundation, and then on that careful foundation, you can build a beautiful building. So which one is going to be there, you know, 1,000 years later? What's going to be present 1,000 years later is going to be the one in which the foundation is established. In fact, that's why the deen is so vibrant and alive and maintained even 1,400 years after its advent. 1,400 years after Rasulullah, this movement of deen is just as vibrant. Obviously, it's not at the level that it was at the time of Rasulullah, but given 1,400 years of time, the degree to which the deen exists is amazing. But why is it that way? It's that way because there's an amazing foundation upon which it's built. The foundation of the companions, the tabi'in, the tabi' tabi'in, all of that forms the foundation. And even if weak people like us take up the deen and make an effort towards the deen and attempt to call ourselves Muslim, we can stand on that foundation and remain relatively safe because of the strength of that foundation. Now, in our personal development, if we don't have these basics, then someplace we'll get challenged and we'll fail. Now, where might we get challenged and fail? We might get challenged and fail in our business transactions. Maybe I'm able to maintain myself and look, you know, good, but when it comes to my business transactions, I'm not able to maintain them properly. Maybe I get challenged and fail in my interaction with my children. Maybe I get challenged and I fail in an interaction with someone in the community or at my workplace or with my spouse or in a board meeting in the masjid. I don't know. But invariably, if that foundation is not present the way it should be, some place a person will fail and will get. When they challenge, they'll fail. People ask, okay, well, I have this big issue in my life. How can I solve this big issue? Well, the first question is the foundation. Is the foundation there? If it's not there, then obviously the strength of the person is limited. The strength of the building is limited. The strength of the tree is limited. But if it is there, then that's the first step. So we as believers, we have to establish that foundation. Now, you see like an example of the Ramadan has recently passed. And look at the emphasis in Ramadan. So much of the emphasis in Ramadan was going back and forming the foundation. Emphasis on Quran, emphasis on Sunnah, emphasis on the masjid, emphasis on prayer. All of these things establish the foundation of a person. And this is something that we have to maintain outside of the month of Ramadan as well. We should be regularly interacting with the Quran at whatever level is appropriate for each person in this room. We should be regularly doing dhikr of Allah. We should be regularly engaging in supererogatory prayer. All of these things establish the foundation of the believer. The giving of sadaqah, the following of the sunnah, all of these things establish the foundation of the believer. And once the foundation is established, then and only then can a person thrive. And the mistake that we make is that we think we can do everything without a foundation. We think that I can just pick a few things, pick a few aspects of deen, I can bring them into my life, and I don't have to establish any foundation. And this is so commonplace today. I want to do khidmat of the community, and I want to establish a relief organization. So what do? I go and open a relief organization. I have no foundation. My prayer is weak, my Quran is weak, my dhikr is weak, but I've just decided that I want to do this activity because I want to do this activity. So what happens? You know, there's so many complexities and so many issues that arise in that type of environment, and a person is not able to succeed and thrive the way they should be. Similarly, you know, the other example, person says, I want to go and I want to study deen. So what do? They jump on a plane and they sign up for a program. Okay, now they signed up for the program, they learn a few superficial things. And once they learn a few superficial things, they come back and they want to represent deen. But there's no foundation. They didn't spend any time working on the foundation. There's no depth of prayer, there's no depth of recitation, there's no depth of dhikr, there's no experience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's just a bunch of information that's being passed on. You can do it. Nobody's saying that you can't do it. You can easily go and you can learn a few things and you can repeat those few things and you'll look and appear to have done something very special. But you'll know yourself, and the results of your effort will be apparent that there's something that's missing. So we are people that place a premium on establishing the foundation. Now, you look at the sunnah of the prophets that came before us, and you know that there's a famous narration in which we're told that the prophets that came before us, one of the common threads that existed between them was that they had spent some time in herding sheep or being a shepherd of animals like sheep. And a question that's commonly raised is, you know, prophets, when they're sent, the prophets of Allah, when they're sent at a time in history when it's utter darkness. The time that the prophets are sent is the time when humanity has no hope and they need to be completely rejuvenated. They need a complete reset. Everything needs to be flipped over on itself. Many of the prophets, right, came in those circumstances. So if a prophet comes in those circumstances, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in that circumstance where there was such darkness that children were being buried, you know, the families were burying their female child alive. And I mean, so many extremities were being were occurring in that society that any normal human being could say that this is unacceptable and this is outside of the realm of humanity. And what would happen? The Prophet ﷺ was present in that time. Yet, there was so much time spent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had assigned to him to develop before the responsibility of deen was openly placed on his shoulder. So, although the Prophet ﷺ came in that time, it wasn't until the age of 40 that Rasulullah ﷺ began to carry that responsibility openly on his shoulder towards the community. So that means that there was a period of time in which foundation was formed. The visiting of the cave, the sadaqah that was given prior, the good manners, etc. All of that was foundational. And even after that, once the Prophet ﷺ began the responsibility of establishing deen in the community, it wasn't that the Prophet ﷺ was so busy that there was no time for Qur'an, that there was no time for prayer, that there was no time for dhikr. You look at the example of Rasulullah ﷺ, although he was serving the community, at the same time he was maintaining his foundation. How can it be that a person establishes a foundation and then begins to build themselves up and then leaves the things that maintain their foundation? They'll collapse. You look at Rasulullah ﷺ, he was praying at nights, deep, deep prayers, and this was in the context of working in the community. Now, people get so busy nowadays, they say, I'm so busy working, I have no time for prayer. I'm so busy doing my job. Even people in community activists, they have the same, I'm so busy that I have to meet people and talk to people and guide people and advance people that I don't have time to give for my own self. But that person never lasts. And the effects of that person are limited. Because the foundation is absolutely essential, regardless of what stage a person is at. Just as a person needs to first begin by establishing their foundation, and then eventually the plant will grow. Similarly, that foundation and roots need to be maintained all the way until the day the person leaves this planet, or leaves this world. Because we're always dependent on that foundation. So regardless of where we are in our development, whether we be at A or we be at Z, there has to be an emphasis on keeping, maintaining, establishing, or developing our foundation. Which means that there needs to be a consistent effort towards dhikr. There needs to be a consistent interaction with the Qur'an. There needs to be consistent attention towards salawat. There needs to be consistent attachment to the masjid and prayer. And to the extent that we establish supererogatory prayers in order to firm that foundation. And this is the role of every single person in this room. And this is why, you know, when we establish the lessons of suluk, this is the foundation that we give every single person. Every person is assigned the same thing. Quran, salawat, istighfar, muraqabah, and wukuf. Constant remembrance. Keeping ourselves in a constant state of remembrance. It's the basics. It's what everybody should be doing. And it's not even anything unique. It's what every Muslim in the world should be doing. So we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are able to establish our foundation. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are able to sprout from that foundation beautiful trees and flowers. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين